All right, so I want to go back maybe just a little bit to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, we started this. We definitely did some of this. Could we did everything? I don't remember exactly, but let's review. I think we were in the middle. Let's review Perek Beis. Zechariah Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. Vayareini Hashem Arba Ochroshim. Hashem showed me four craftsmen. He showed me four craftsmen, Vo'imar, and I said, Pasuk Dalet, Mo Eile Vo'im La'asais. What are these craftsmen coming to do? Vayoymer Leimer, Eilu HaKranois Asher Zeru Es Yehuda. These are the Kranois. These are the horns, or the powers. The Karen we learned a while ago represents the power Asher Zeru Es Yehuda, who has dispersed, who has scattered the Jewish people, Kifi Ish to the degree. Remember we did this? Let me just see how far we get over here. These are the measurements. But let's read the Pesuk Mei. Okay, I'm gonna go forward. Let's just review. Let's recap. Vayimar Pasuk Dalet Mo Eile Voim La'asoyitz Vayomer Leimar Elu Hakranois. These are the powers Asher Zeru Es Yehuda, who have scattered the Jewish people. Kifi Ish. We discussed this at length. We're not gonna do it again now. We did this before, to the degree, shi'ur, to the degree. These are the powers of the world that have inflicted enormous harm upon the Jewish people to the degree where the Jewish people were so humiliated, they were unable to lift up their head. And they have, and these four choroshim, these four craftsmen, are now coming to terrify them, to destroy them, liadois, to chop down, to cut down, es karnes hagoyim, the power of the goyim, hanoisim keren, which lift up their horns, their power, el eretz Yehuda, lizoroisa, to scatter her. Okay, we did this last time, we had a long discussion, when it says here there are four, are these the same four, for a total of five, or are these a different four? Are these malachim and shamayim? We spent a lot of time, but over here in this vision, Zechariah, he sees four craftsmen coming forward. This is the characteristic of the Sefer of Zechariah. Zechariah does not himself know what he is seeing. The other prophets, more or less, when they saw a prophecy, they saw and they understood what they were seeing. Now let me give you an example. Yirmiyah. In the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah was given a test. He was shown a vision, and Hashem asked him, "What do you see?" And he explained, "I see a pot, and I see the pot its spout is towards Eretz Yisrael." And basically, if we study the Pesukim in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, Hashem showed Yirmiyah prophecy, and Hashem asked Yirmiyah, "What exactly is your understanding of the prophecy?" And Yirmiyah immediately explained, "This is the prophecy, and this is what it means." And Hashem said, "Excellent." I don't remember the exact words, but Hashem said to him, "Hey, taftaliros, excellent, Yirmiyah, you're on the ball. You get an A for the course." You see something, you are seeing correctly, and your interpretation, your understanding of what you're seeing is correct as well. Contrast that, the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, with the entire theme of Sefer Zechariah, where Zechariah is witnessing events, visions, and Zechariah immediately says, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's happening over here. And it's not Hashem, it's a malach that has to come and fill in and explain to him what exactly he is seeing and what exactly is the meaning, the understanding of the vision that he sees. So we see over here a very big difference, at least I think the contrast, the Yirmiyah with Zechariah. Very different visions. And the Yirmiyah and Zechariah are two very important people because Yirmiyah witnessed the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Zechariah, to a very large degree, is prophesizing on the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay, that theme came up in the past in the end of Perek Aleph, at least the Malbim of the Radak, where he interpreted a big chunk of the Nevuah in reference to the day will come when the Bayis Sheni will be Chorav. So Yirmiyah and Zechariah definitely have something in common. They're both witnessing Churban. Yirmiyah clearly witnessed the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. Zechariah, to a degree, at least according to some of the Mefarshim, witnessed the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. Yet Yirmiyah, when he was challenged by Hashem to explain what he sees and his understanding of the vision, was spot on, was able to clearly decipher and see correctly, whereas Zechariah, with regard to the Churban Bayis Sheni, was unable to have clarity, number one, in what he is seeing, and number two, in the interpretation of what is being presented in front of him. Next. Now we come to Pasuk Hey, Vo'esa Einai, Vo'erev Hinei Ish, Uv'yodai Chevel Mida. We learned this a little bit last week. Also, in his hand is a measuring rod. And Vo'oimar, and I said, Ono Ato Hoylich, where are you going? Vayomer Eli, Lomod, I'm going to measure Es Yerushalayim, Lirois, to see Kamo Rochba, the Kamo Orka, to see its measure. Okay, now this week we began to discuss just a little bit last week. I think we started, maybe we even completed it, but let's read it again, the Mefarshim. It's one, these two psukim. Let's see again, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudois David. Pasuk Hey reads, V'hinei ish shabo ish uv'yodai hayachevel mida sheregilin limdoid bay es hachaymas. According to the Mitzudois, he's coming to measure the walls of Yerushalayim. And in ancient times, measuring was done with ropes. In the Gemara, those who are learning Daf Yomi come across often that the Tchum was measured with ropes of 50 amos. A rope that's less than 50 amos is no good because a person has a tendency to stretch it. And a rope that's more than 50 amos is also no good because there's a tendency to let it sag. And it's not accurate. 50 amos, according to Chazal, is the perfect sweet spot where you can measure with accuracy distance. Pasuk Vav Oimar, Sha'alti Esoish Lehechon Ato Holich Im Hachevel Hamida, where are you going with this measuring rope? Lirois, and he told me, I'm going to measure to see Kama Rochba, Ritzon Loimar, Kama Yesh Ato Berochba Uva Orka, Uchi'ilu Mare Boze. According to the Mitzudais, this is a prophecy that right now the wall is small, but the day will come when the walls of Yerushalayim will be expanded. And we know that that is a fact. They have today archaeological evidence that the wall of Yerushalayim, they know exactly, it seems, where the wall of Yerushalayim stood during the time, maybe even of the Bayis Rishon. And it was much, much further in than where the wall of the old city is today. The wall of the old city today was built only, I mean, relatively speaking, recently, by probably the Christians, the Crusaders, the Muslims, the different eras, different people participated in rebuilding these walls, but these walls are much further out than the original walls of the old city. They actually have in the ground, they're able to show where they strongly believe the original walls, even from the time of the Bayis Sheni, and it's really remarkable that how small Yerushalayim was relative to the type of cities that we live in today. New York City, I think itself, is 8 miles, 9 miles, just man, the span. And the city of Yerushalayim, it's teeny. It's mamish teeny. And yet we know in Chazal that the Oil Regal, millions of people came. There's no way to understand how this was possible other than to say that there were miracles. But it does say that the walls of Yerushalayim are going to expand. And this is very important, halacha, because when it comes to, let's say for the halacha of Megillas Esther, do you lay in Yerushalayim, you lay on the 15th day, the Megillah, not on the 14th day, what is called Yerushalayim today regarding that halacha. So today, Yerushalayim, if you look on the map, the city that has expanded the boundaries of what they called Yerushalayim. How far does it go? But Chazal over here, according at least the Mitzvah stuff, he says he's going to measure the walls of Yerushalayim, Kama, Rachba, Vakama, Arka. The Mitzvah stuff is coming to add in this concept that I'm coming to show the measurement now only for the purpose of illustration that it's going to be in the future much larger. It's going to expand to a much greater measure. Let's see what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi says, Pasik, hey, Chevel Mida Chut Dim Dimish Chasa, a chut is a rope of measuring. Lamod es Yerushalayim, Kama Yihyeh in the future tense, what it will look like in the future, Kama Yiarka Verach. Okay, let's see the Radak. I apologize, I cannot put it on the screen today. I don't think everything, it's going to be a little bit too difficult now. I have to charge everything. I'll start charging now. Maybe if we need to, we can do it soon. But let's read the Radak inside. Pasikain Pasik Vavo Esa Bamare Hazois. If you have the Radak in your edition, otherwise I'll just try to read it slowly and explain it. Vaere Bamare Hazos Shav Liros Mare Acheres. The Yitochain Shotia Mare Zois Asid Limois HaMashiach. According to the Radak, this is for the future Mashiach Kemoi Marois Yecheskel Shemodad Hamalach Yerushalayim Orko. Okay, this is an idea that we spoke about many, many times, that many of the prophets saw the same movie. They saw the same movie, but they had a different review. Their review and their interpretation of what they saw was not the same. Hashem opened up a vision, the same exact vision for Yechezkel and for Zechariah, and likewise for other prophets. And each one, when they report, when they express what they saw, they bring it out besignoin acher. Ein shnei neviim misnabin besignun echad. There are no two prophets that relate their prophecy with the same style and expression, but they're all referring to the same exact moment, the same exact point. And if we have an incident where Yechezkel is describing a malach measuring Yerushalayim, and we have Zechariah describing a malach measuring Yerushalayim, we have a right to assume they are describing the same thing, and each one fills in some of the details that the other one omits. And each one has a different focus, a different perspective, based upon his life, his experience, his generation, and the people to whom he is speaking to. Okay, let's now go to the next words. We'll get a little more details. Chevel mida, chevel shemoy didin ba, v'zeho ish hoya malach acher v'loy hadayver boy. The one that was measuring is not the one that is explaining. This goes back to Rashi and Chumash. Ein shnei malachim, no angel has more than one task. Malachim do not multitask. When I was a kid, I never heard of this expression, multitasking. This is a modern term comes from computers. Okay, computers. Yeah, the computer can have multiple applications running simultaneously. The CPU is multitasking, and we've taken that concept of what a CPU, what a computer can do, and we've applied it to human beings, and we've started using this in our vocabulary. That some people are better at multitasking than others. Malachim cannot multitask. A malach is given one job only. That's why three malachim came to visit Avraham after his bris milah, one to heal Avraham, one to inform Avraham that his wife Sarah will have a child, and the third was to save Lot. Each one had, and one was to, well, that's all question, to destroy, I'm sorry, not to save Lot, one was to destroy Sodom. Three malachim. What about the malach that saved Lot? So Rashi tells us the malach that healed Avraham was the same malach that went to save Lot. And that opens up a whole topic of conversation. But don't we have Hashem anyway had to send three malachim because no malach can do more than one task. So how then was this malach that healed Avram, how was he permitted to do a second task of saving Lot? And that's the topic of discussion. It's only one and the same, v'chulu v'chulu. But the basic rule by default is a malach cannot multitask. And here we see this in this pasuk as well. One malach is doing the measuring, and the malach that's measuring is not able to communicate with Zechariah and explain to him what's taking place, because that would be a violation of one malach doing more than one thing. Let's go further. What I want to suggest once is that we have another rule of malachim. There's another rule by malachim, and that is malachim, they stand. Malachim do not have knees. They stand. They cannot move. Only human beings have the ability to move. V'nasati l'cha mehalchim bein ho'omdim ho'ela. Hashem says to the Navi, I will give you mehalchim, mobility, amongst these creatures that are stationary. And from this we learn a lot of things.
Don't have malachim sitting down? Shavu tachas ha'etz?
Shavu, so Rav Mordechai Bienenstock is asking, but malachim, they sat down. How can I say that they don't have knees? So I didn't mean literally. I meant they were in disguise, those malachim. But I mean over here is mobility in reference to the ability to grow, to go to a higher level of spirituality. Chazal say we have many different types of malachim.
Is according once they're the lowest level of malachim are the ones who come down to earth. When they come down to earth, they assume the abilities of the human being on whatever they need to do. When they're in Shemayim, they're in a different state. There's different types of malachim who inhabit the heavens and different levels of malachim. This is according to the Rambam, according to malachim who are here, and that's the way they perform their ma'at. And that was the problem with Elisha, because he saw Metatron, who was sitting next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's part of that, you know, the parday, you know, Arba Nichnasu Lepardes, that was part of the problem, that Elisha ben Avuya saw him sitting. Therefore, it had to be somebody on the level of Hashem, because Malachim can't sit.
So I want to suggest the following Yisoid. We have a rule that Malachim do not have the ability to get a promotion. There are oifanim, there are malachim in the category of a chayos hakodesh, there are malachim called at all different levels of malachim. In the Sefer Yecheskel, we learned about some of them. When we daven every day, we read about the malachim, all different types of malachim, and Chazal tell us a malach is created, is put in a certain position, and that's it. There is no opportunity for an angel to get a promotion, to move up in the system. You are what you are. A human being, the greatest advantage that a human being is blessed with is the ability to be the gift of mobility, which includes, it's a very vast term, but which includes the ability to go higher and reach an exalted level of spirituality. In this generation, Hashem gave us a very great chesed. He put us in a world which is dominated by Western civilization, America, and the motto of an America is, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be the president of the United States. You can be a general of the military. You can be a pilot, an astronaut. You can move up in this world, work hard, go through the steps. If you exert yourself, you work hard, and you go through the steps, you can rise to the highest level. There's no limitation of what you could accomplish in America and by extension in this world. Years ago, our great grandparents did not live in that type of world. 99% of the people who were born into this world were stuck in the mud. You're born into a society, you're born into a situation, and that is it. There is no getting out. Make the best out of your life where you find yourself. The ability to rise, to go higher, in every dimension, whether it's in the world of in religion, you want to be a Rosh Shiva, you can be a Rosh Shiva also. You want to be a Rav, you can be a Rav. You want to be the President of the United States, you want to be a politician, you want to be a plumber, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer. There's no limit to what you can do. That's the blessing of this generation, that Hashem gave man a visible world where you can actually see what it means, the blessing of to be a mahalich. The malachim don't have that. The malachim are stuck. They're stuck in the mud. They can't move. Whatever they are, they are. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ho'imdim ho'ele. That's number one. Number two, malachim, we have a rule in the book of malachim. The book of malachim, I have a signed edition of the book of malachim. The malachim in their playbook, they tell us, you only can get one job. A malach cannot, under any condition, multitask. Women are the best multitaskers. You ever see a woman? You know what those creatures are? They can be talking on the phone. They can be cooking dinner. They can be taking care of a child. They can be doing homework with another child. They can have a job, working a job, making a lot more money than their husband at the same time. And they can also be giving a shiur, and they can be listening to a shiur. Women have an ability, it's a fact, women have an incredible ability to multitask. Men can't even do one thing at a time. Can't even walk and chew gum, most men. Men have to do one thing only. Okay, but putting all jokes aside, a man has an ability, human being, to multitask. So I want to suggest to you that these two concepts are toluy ze boze. The ability to multitask is what gives a human being the ability to be a mahalich. An angel that is not able to multitask, an angel is given, this is your job. I want you, Hashem says, go to Avraham, and I want you to make and tell Avraham that his wife, Sarah, will have a child. Period. That's it. You can't do more than one thing. I can't send one angel, I want you to heal him. Jack of all trades, heal him. Tell him he's going to have a child. Destroy Sodom, save Lot. No. One thing only. Why is a malach? Malach is only able to do one thing. Because a malach can do one thing only, that is why the malach has no mobility. That is the limitation in him, in the malach being able to get a promotion. A human being, every single day you're presented with multiple challenges. You wake up in the morning, and before you blink, you realize you have to take care of five things today. Five different items on your agenda. And each one is super complex. Each one involves complicated issues. And all, more often than not, they're all interconnected. And they're all very delicate. And you are tasked with achieving perfection in all of these multidimensional things that are thrown at you. To succeed, if you succeed in handling all of the things that are thrown at you, you grow. That is where you're able to grow and become a mahalich and go higher and higher. These two differences between man and malach is what gives man, is what separates one from the other. They're interdependent. Malach cannot get a promotion, and a malach can only do one thing at a time. A human being can multitask, and a human being can grow, can get a promotion spiritually, come closer to Hashem. It's toluy, it's dependent one on the other. When a person in life is faced with multiple challenges, which often are interrelated, you have to realize, this is my moment. This is my moment. Don't just say too much. I feel I'm crushed. I can't deal with all of these things at the same time. Just the opposite. This is your moment to be the mahalech bein ha'imdim ha'ela, to grow. True growth comes with dealing with multiple difficult situations and managing them successfully. Okay, I always tell you about the story of Rabbi Stephen Przanski. I don't know where he is now. I think I heard he was retiring. But many years ago, when he first started out in his rabbanis, I was a student in a rabbinic training course, and he spoke to us for 2.5 hours. He used to be a lawyer. He is a lawyer who became a rabbi. And he no one even heard of him then. He was just starting out in Teaneck. He's a very, very, very massive, massive shul, modern orthodoxy. And he spoke, and he pulled out of his pocket a card. It could be that card he used, I think, within the past week. And he showed us that on the card he had a terrible tragedy in Teaneck, a horrific tragedy. Someone died, a young person, and he had to arrange the funeral and take care of everything. And at the funeral, quickly he had to write down who are the maspidim, who are going to eulogize the person. He wrote down all the names on this card, and he got up and he spoke, and then he called up everyone from the card. And then he went to the cemetery, and then the second the service in the cemetery was over, he had to rush to a very elegant wedding far away, and he had to speak under the chuppah, and he ran there, he came there to the wedding, he just barely made it, and he had to write down some notes, what he was going to say. It could be he had to make the announcements under the chuppah, and he was fumbling in his pocket for a piece of paper to write down the notes. And the only card that he had in his pocket was the card which had all of the names of the maspidim for the funeral and the notes he jotted down for the levaya he had in the morning. He turned the card on the other side, and he wrote down his notes and all the names of the grandparents, the great-grandparents, that were celebrating this beautiful, elegant wedding. And he got up under the chuppah, and he gave a drasha, and he glanced at his notes, to be mechabed, the zakenim, v'chulu v'chulu. And he took out in front of us the card, and he showed us, look at this card. On the one side, it was a levaya, all the notes for this horrific tragedy. And on the other side were the notes for this beautiful simcha that took decades for it to come to fruition. And I didn't have a second in the day, not even 1 second, to compose myself, to calm down and to deal with each one, give it the attention it deserves. It was just thrown at me. That's Rabbanus, he told the people in the audience. That is the world of Rabbanus. If you're a real rabbi, that's what it's like. You don't have a second to blink. You got to be on call 24/7. You don't know what's coming next. Same card, two sides, multitasking. That koyach is the koyach of mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Here we have the Malach.
I would like to say something else, something after you finish your idea. I'm looking at the style of the Nevuah. It's not for Zechariah, it's for us. Zechariah wrote it down in his Sefer. What is it? Why did he have to do that? This whole thing like this. It's exactly to teach us when you want to if this is the style of see something, and then develop it. What is it? There is a corona. What is it?
Excellent.
Is there anything? So this is actually to teach us.
Beautiful.
To think what
beautiful.
We see. And Mashal, I have a tzitzit in the morning, and I say, uritem oto. Okay, I see strings. Uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. Suddenly, I see something, and it reminds me. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I have to go to the rabbi. I saw something. What is it? So to get interest, I remember I was in the sixth grade in the elementary school. until today, I'll never forget it. The teacher came in and he wrote on the Luach, Aleph, 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 Lamed, Rashi Tevot. And everybody, what is this? I said, at the end of the shiur, behave well, I'll tell you what it is. And he told us, Im, Ein, Omrim, El, Erech, Apayim, Ein, Omrim, Lam, Natzeah. It's just, you get that interest.
Oh, that's really good.
I said, he was finally, wait a minute.
That's very good.
It's the way of, the style of the book here is,
I love that. Okay. Im ein oimrim kel erech apayim. What? Ledoros nichtava. But he's saying a powerful idea. He's saying over here is that the whole Zechariah is talking from all of the Nevi'im. Zechariah, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they're talking the most to us than any other prophet. Of course, all the words on the Nevi'im are for us. But the one that's really talking directly to us more than anyone else are these three. And what does Zechariah say? Mo'ataroye! Don't just live your life. You're in brain fog. Mo'ataroye! The world, there are things happening in this world. Try to find the message. Now, it's a dangerous game. It's a very dangerous game. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of foolish people out there that say, oh, this happened. I know why it happened. I'm going to tell you why Corona happened. Oiga, when you hear that, you close your eyes and say, oh, no. Oh, no. That's crazy. But still, like we always say, there are things that we anyway have to correct in our lives. Anyway. Are thirsty for correction, and when there are things that are happening in this that are so obvious, it's a good opportunity to fix the things that anyway need to be corrected. To say with a definitive certainty, this is why that you can't do. That's clearly forbidden. But you're right. What's going on? What's going on? Why did it happen? Punkt Erev Hashanah Rabbah. There was a gzera. All the shuls have to be closed. What's going on?
Why?
What? Yeah. Why? What is it all about? What's it all about? Is it only about health? I mean, obviously, health is that's very important. That's certainly, is that the only reason? Is Hashem speaking to us? The hashkacha pratis? Everyone shut down. I don't know. No one knows, but yet, you do know. You know enough to inspire, to feel something. And you just can't go and say, nothing, just blank. That's not the message of Zechariah more than anything else. Rav Kalman is telling us all these continuous statements. Mo Eile. Zechariah is always coming to demand, what is going on? And that's the message we also have to always say to ourselves, Mo Eile. What is this all about? And search for something that we can relate to, that can help us grow.
I discussed it with my wife and I said, how come we had 8 beautiful days on Sukkot? What Hashem wants to tell us? If I want, I can take your sukkah and kiss it. Ah, beautiful. You did a mitzvah. You probably davened well. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you deserve a good mitzvah. You deserve to sit in the sukkah the entire holiday, the entire yontem, and the rain comes the day after.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
8 gorgeous days.
As Geshem comes.
Eight gorgeous days like in decades.
This is a smile from Hashem.
Exactly. It has to be. But yet, on the other hand, What was this Mishigas about the last 3 days? What's going on over here? I don't know. I was walking with someone to shul early Simchas Torah, so he says to me that his father, he's telling me, you probably know this expression much better than me, I don't know it in Yiddish. Hashem does not patch you with 2 hands. Hashem never patches with one hand, he gives you a patch, and the other hand, he gives you a little pinch on the cheek. It's like we had, wow, what a beautiful Yom Tov in so many ways. And yet, Hashem, obviously, he has a message for us. What's the message? I don't know. There's always this combination. And it's a very, but the duty of Zechariah, his message is more Eile. You have an obligation to ask yourself, don't just sit around the whole day with brain fog. What is going on? There has to be some limud hamusa. All right, let's go further. Let's continue in the Malbim. So the Malbim over here says this very important Malbim made a whole drush out of this. Chevel hamod v'zer ish hayu malach acher v'lo yado everybody. We just said, ein shnei malachim, two malachim cannot do two different tasks. Everyone, they don't multitask. We don't do that here. Shemayim, each malach does one thing only. Next, pasuk vav in the radak. V'oymar lamoid. Okay, this is a grammatical radak. His specialty. Makar min mem dalid dalid. The shoresh of the word is mem dalid dalid. Kumo laros esasoles min. Just like we have the word a similar form, lamid resh samach. Min ra min reish samach samach rav lechem soiv min saviv. Okay, whatever that means, he's going into the world of grammar, which unfortunately I don't know too much about. Let's now take a look over here at the Malbim. The Malbim, pasuk vav and dalit, pasuk hay and vav. Okay, if you have the Malbim, vo eso enai shero'o ish uviyodai chevel mida roimeis sheato yelchu lamod midas chaymas Yerushalayim. Orka v'rochwa v'hoidi aloi, the Malach is informing Zechariah shehoylech lamod shehi ha'hoido'o shetibone choymas Yerushalayim b'mehera b'rishyoin artach shasto k'mo she'omar v'kov inote al Yerushalayim. Okay, this means that according to the Malbim, immediately, even though there was another delay in the building of Yerushalayim, Artach Shasta, the king of Persia, will give permission very, very soon for the walls of Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. So a little history. There was basically a delay in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim twice. First, Koresh gave permission, it's time for the Jews to go back home and rebuild their temple. Go. I give you permission. I'm giving you money. I'm giving you some of the kalim. You can have them back. Take, go. And then, delay number one, the Aseres B'nei Haman. They created a sitna. They sent a letter of accusation that the Jews are rebelling. And indeed, that letter, Achashverosh canceled the permit of the Jews to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. All right. It was canceled, I think, how many years? 14 years? I forgot the numbers exactly. It was canceled. And it was canceled for the remaining days of Achashverosh until Daryovesh HaParsi, until his son, in his second year of his Malchus, Daryovesh HaParsi, the son of Esther HaMalka, once again gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to rebuild the walls, and they did. However, there was a second delay. We learned that there was something else happened and things did not go off well. There was a second delay. And then the next king, or it's not really clear who was Artach Shasta. Was he the king after Daryovesh HaParsi, or was there someone in between? I think there was someone in between Daryovesh HaParsi and Artach Shasta. He then once again reinstated the permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There was a double delay. That's very important because we always follow a rule, Maise Ovois Simin Labanim. The building of the Bayis Shlishi clearly has a parallel in the building of the Bayis Sheni. Just like all of the events that happened in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan have a parallel to the building of the Bayis Rishon, the Nevuos, the events leading up to the building of the Bayis Sheni is a major sign, template for the sequence of events of the building of the Bayis Shalishi. And if we discover that there was a double delay in the building of the Bayis Sheni, that by definition tells us there will be a double delay in the building of the Bayis Shlishi. And how all of that plays out is not clear. In hindsight, after Mashiach will come and everything will have already happened, we will be able to look back and clearly connect the dots and see the parallel between what happened in the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Shlishi. Maybe some people will say that the establishment of the State of Israel was like Koresh, was the first stage of go back home. Who's stopping you? Rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Take hold of Eretz Yisrael. And then what happened? There was a delay. There was Aseres B'nei Haman. It's been 75 years. And what has happened? There's been quite a delay. There's been enormous opposition to allow us to achieve to possess the land fully without any restrictions. And then hopefully then there will be a time very soon where there'll be another drive, another moment. Okay, Dayove Shaparsi, now is the time, build the Beis HaMikdash. And according to what Zechariah is saying is, there's another delay. There's going to be another delay. But if that delay does occur, we should not be disappointed, and we should not be disheartened, because here Zechariah says, I see the Malach measuring the walls of Yerushalayim. Even though here at this point in time in history, he's now in the middle of the second delay, he is predicting very soon Artach Shasta will give permission and you will proceed to fully build the walls of Yerushalayim, to fully expand and live in the land the way it was meant to be. That's a limbo we can take out of the Malbim. Now let's look now at the, I'm going to read, you don't have, you probably, most of you do not have this, but let me read for you the Mamari Chazal, on the bottom of the page 724, Vo'imar, I'll just read it slowly. Ono ato hoylech. Zechariah said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to measure the walls of Yerushalayim. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loseis es Yerushalayim B'mido Kavua. So a very beautiful Gemara. This is a famous Gemara Masechta Bava Basra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original intent was to define precise borders for Yerushalayim, to define precise borders. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk Vo'imar, this is the pasuk. This pasuk tells us Ono ato hoylech Vo'yomer Eli, I'm going lomod es Yerushalayim lirois kama rochba v'kama arorka. And we have a rule. A rule is Ein bracha mitzuya ela. Whenever you count something or measure something, you're limiting the bracha. You're limiting the ability. If you're putting a number on something, that prevents it. That's the way it is. How that works in the world of in Ruchnis, I do not know, but that's a reality. When you count or measure, there is a limitation. So here, the Malach was going to implement Hashem's original plan to limit the blessing of Yerushalayim by assigning very limited and precise measurements for the holy city. And the Gemara goes on to say, Omru Malachei Hashareis Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Harbe Kirachim Barasa Be'Olamcha Shel Umos Olam. The nations of the world have many cities, many, many locations, and we don't find anywhere in your creation limitations, measurements. It doesn't say anywhere how the measurements of the United States, doesn't say there's supposed to be a wall between the United States and Mexico. There's no limitation to the expanse of the land. So why is it only when it comes to Yerushalayim are you coming to limit its blessing with a length and width? Yerushalayim sheshimcha b'soicha u'mikdoshcha b'soicha v'tzadikim b'soicha ata nosin ba midah. So miyad, that's the lead up to the next pasuk. The next pasuk we're going to read is Vayomer Elov Hashem said to the Malach, Rutz, run, Daber El Hanar Halos Lemor Pirozois Teshev Yerushalayim Meiroiv Adam Uvehemo B'Seicho. You're right, no walls. Don't measure walls. Don't make limitations. Yerushalayim indeed should be unlimited. Why? Ein Habrocha Mitzuya El Bedavar Hasamoy Min Ha'ayin. When there is no limitation, when there's no accurate measurement, that's where you will find the bracha. We're coming now out of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Someone asked me yesterday, I don't know the answer. I don't know what you, maybe you could tell me. Do you say on Simchas Torah, when they took out the Sefer Torah from the Aron before they laned, did you say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun? So I think in the article Siddur it says you do say it.
You don't say it?
Is that what everyone did? Everyone did not say it? So
Arshul
does not have it. You don't say Hashem Hashem. You don't have it in the Arshul Shmini Atzeres? It says in the
Shmini Atzeres.
I'm not. Doesn't have Hashem Hashem? On Simchas Torah?
Not have it.
Okay, good. No. Very good. So he asked it because where I daven, they said it. And the person that was sitting next to was a very big Talmud Chacham. And he said to me, are you really supposed to say Hashem Hashem today on Simchas Torah? What are they doing here? They don't know what they're doing here. They're ignorant. I didn't say that. He said to me, the truth is most people do not say it, but there are valid minhagim that you should say it. So what they're doing here, even though it appears to be incorrect, can't say it's incorrect because there are some valid minhagim which do hold that it should be said. In any event, why am I telling you that now? Is that what do we say? We say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim.
When would you say it?
When you take out the Sefer Torah. When you say Vayhi Ben Soya. When you take out the Sefer Torah, Tulein. When you take out the Sefer Torah, at some point in time, you take out the Sefer Torah. Everyone has a different, everyone does the Hakafas differently. Some people, they start Ato Horesa. And they don't even say Vayhi Ben Soya. Everyone does it differently. Everyone has a whole. I don't. You have to see how they do hakafas. A lot of shuls they do hakafas, and after the hakafas they put everything back into the oroin, and then they do Vayhi Ben Soya, Av Harachamim, and Brich Shmei, and then the question is, do you say Hashem Hashem? Right. So that's how I grew up. We did hakafas. We did hakafas, atar esaladas. Then they give out the first hakafa. They finish all seven hakafas. They put back all the sifrei Torah back into the oroin, and then they start with vayehi bin soya oroin vayoyimer moishah. They started like on a regular Shabbos. So if you do it like that, why don't you say Hashem Hashem? What's the big deal? So say Hashem Hashem. What's the big deal? Why should it be any different than
Levine,
yeah?
If you look in Ezra's Torah Luach,
yeah,
it says clearly, you do the Akafas and the Kazan is left with the Sefer Torah, and he says Shema Yisrael.
And what about Vayhi Ben Soya? What about Vayhi Ben Soya? No Vayhi Ben Soya in Ezra.
No, it's from the before when you say about the Reisa.
Okay, does it say in the Ezra's Torah? If I had a shul, I would do whatever it says in the Ezra's Torah. I have no doubt about it. Does it say in the Ezra's Torah? Yeah.
The Kazans left in the morning with three Sifrei Torah, and they say Yishma Yisrael. They don't say Brich Shmei. They don't say anything else.
It doesn't make any mention in the Ezra's Torah to say Vayihi Ben Soya?
No.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's the mini.
Okay, fine, good. 100%.
You said it during Ato Reisa.
Said it before.
No, you don't say it all together.
You said it in Ato Reisa.
Oh, you said that positive, even Saharan.
Yeah.
But what about Brich Shmei? And ein kemoicha ba ein kemoicha ba elokim ba'ashem v'ein v'ein kemasach. You don't say ein kemoicha.
No.
You don't say luchashem agdul v'agvur v'atferes v'nitzach v'yachoy. You don't say none of that stuff. All that you totally omit.
No, that just no. That
you already said.
No, that you say. You sing it.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
If the God would sing that.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense that way. I'll tell you why. Because when we learned about the laws of Simchas Torah, we asked the question, why do you lain at night? Where does it come from to lain at night? This is Shaloi Kedin.
You have a problem.
What's
you
the
got to say for? What are you going to do?
Oh, exactly. So the reason why you lain at night, even though there's no Makar to lain at night, is how could you not lain? If you took out the Sifrei Torah to dance with it, how could you not lain? It's a disgrace only to have the emotional element without the intellectual element. Now that all makes sense if you took out the Sifrei Torah to dance with and you're still holding them. But once you put them back in the Aron HaKodesh already, too late. Who told you to take it out again to lain?
That's why you don't put it back.
Right, exactly. That's why it makes sense.
You leave him out.
That's why it makes sense. Yeah. Don't put it back inside. That's why, because if you're going to put it back inside, especially at night, then you have no right to lain. Once you already took it out to dance, you don't have a choice. If you already took it out to dance, you can't put it away without laning from it. But if you're going to put it back in the Aron HaKodesh, so you already ruined it. You already messed up. So it's whatever. Let bygones be bygones. It's done. But during the day, anyway, you have to lay no matter what. So why don't you put it back inside? Same reason. Once you take it out, it's not proper to put it back inside. I get it. Okay, I totally get it. I'm not coming. Ezra's Torah is the Bible. It's Hashem's notebook.
There was also an old minig.
Yeah.
They didn't lane, but they were goyel with Sefer Torah.
To goyel, right. I thought I mentioned that. Maybe I didn't mention that. Right. There was another minig at night. Simchas Torah. You don't lane, but you goyel. While you goyel, you sing. Right. You goyel the Sefer Torah for tomorrow. Right. That's a very interesting minig. That was an old minig. Enoch and Ami. All right, we're getting back over here to that discussion. Why am I mentioning this to you? Hashem is because we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Question. Here is the question. What are the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? Guess what? No one knows. In the Psukim, Vayavar Hashem Al Pono Vayikro Hashem, they're more like 20 Midos. Read the Pasuk to the very, very end. Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Lechanun, Erech, Apayim, V'Rav Chesed, V'Emes, Netzach Chesed, Lo Alafim, Nosi Oven, V'Fesha, V'Chata'ov, V'Nakei. And it goes further, keep on going. Poiket Oven, Oves, Albonim, V'Al. It goes on, I don't remember the whole Pasuk by heart. It goes on and on and on and on. Can you extract from me, from approximately 20 candidates, there are about 20 candidates in the Pasuk that can easily be defined as the 13 Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. So if you look in the Rishonim, no one agrees. I have a chart somewhere lying around, five of the major opinions of what exactly are the Yud. These are from the popular Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban, maybe even Rashi, all the major Rishonim. What are the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachanim? And the answer is, you know what the answer is? It's done by design, because Ein Habrocha Mitsuya El Bedavar Hasamui Min Ha'ayin. Just say the whole pasuk. In this pasuk, somewhere are the 13 Midos Harachamim. If you're going to try to limit and define what they are, that takes away from the bracha inherent in the Midos. Ein habracha mitzuya ella b'davar hasam. That's a rule in Hashem's world. And Hashem himself is the ultimate bracha. Hashem is hidden. He is royeh. His midos are in play, but they're not even defined. You can't even accurately define the basic Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim. So what do? Just say the whole pasuk. Cover yourself. Say the whole pasuk from beginning to end, or whatever Chazal tell us to say. Say whatever they tell you to say. That will cover you, because in there you will certainly have the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim. And this that you cannot define it, Adarabba, that's why it's a bracha. So here, when it comes to Yerushalayim, the Malach is trying. You know what it means then, according to this interpretation of the Malbim, of how we learn Shat in this Chazal, the Malach that's coming to measure Yerushalayim is not our friend. It's a Malach of Din. When you look, according to the Radak and the Mitzudas and Rashi, oh wow, good news! Good news! There's a Malach who's going to measure the walls of Yerushalayim. It must be a Malach of Rachamim, Mimini Michoel, Umismoli Gavriel, Umlufnei Oriel, Umeachorai Rafael. It's a Malach of Rachamim. That's how the Radak seems to learn. Everyone, that's what the Malbim learns. Good news! We're going to expand the city of Yerushalayim. Along comes this Maimer Chazal and tells us this Malach is not our friend. He's not a Malach of Rachamim. It's a Malach of Kitroig, a Malach of Chavola. He's coming to measure, to limit the blessing for Klal Yisrael. All the Umayyas HaOlam, they don't have any measurements. Their brach is only us. Only we're different. You have to be limited. And to that Hashem says, get rid of this guy. Take him out. Take him out. Tell them the Nar Rutz, take this Malach of Kitroig out of here, because Klal Yisrael deserves unlimited brach. Very big nafka min pshat. Are you dealing with a malach of rachamim, or are you dealing with a malach of chavola? All right. So this is let's see. Anything else we want to discuss?
That's why the malachim by law were punished when they said kimachri simanachnu. That wasn't one was there to save Lot. It was a big mistake that he said. So he corrected himself. That's it.
Anachnu. Well, that malach. Well, that was another issue. That the malach of this says we have power. We have power.
Because one demashtis couldn't do his job until the other one saved Lot. So they weren't both mashkisim, but they were one was dependent on the other.
Okay. All right. Now over here, I just want to put an interesting minchashai. The Mincha Shai, I always wondered about these things. I'll read you what it says. B'sifrei Sifarad. Okay, in the Sifrei Sifarad, I don't know what that means exactly. The Sifrei Sifarad in Spain. Okay, in the books in Sifarad, Yesh Makov Ben Kama Rochba. There's a Makov. A Makov means there's a line under it. If you look in your edition, it says Kama Rochba. There's a Makov. The two words are connected. Now, for practical purposes, what does that mean for us? It means the Ta'ameh HaMikra. In Chumash, whenever we only have one note of the Ta'ameh HaMikra, and we want to apply it to two words, we put a makaf. A makaf is a line, a horizontal line on top, in between the two words, which connects the two words together, which automatically means that one word does not have any melody. It's just connected to the next word, and the melody for one word applies to the other word. Now here, it seems that there is a different, this, now it's very, over here when it comes to, now, so big deal, you have a makaf, not a makaf. But here what's different is, we have the same word twice. How much is the width? How much is the length? And yet, when it comes to the width, the word kama is connected to the width. But when it comes to the length, the word kama is not connected. So he writes over here that that's not that's not, I don't know if you have this in front of you, if you have the article edition, if you have in your Sfarim, the Mincha Shai. And he writes here, B'sifrei Sefarad, Yesh Makov, Ben Kama Rochba, Uvechol Sefarim, Kesuve Yod, V'gam B'mixas, Tefusim, Yishonim, Shnehem, Hatam, B'mem, okay, Kama, V'ayma, Shur Echtor, B'tchilas, Simen, Einches. So he's saying over here, B'chol Sefarim, Kesuve Yad, V'gam B'mixas, Tefusim, Yishonim, Shnehem, Hatam, B'mem. The mix is kamo. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he means by this, but the bottom line is he's trying to analyze that not every sefer is like this, and it just opens up a curious point that for our purposes we don't often pay attention to the pshat. This idea, but there are three different dimensions in this world. There is width, length, and height. And each of these concepts, besides the simple understanding, represents concepts. Typically, when we talk about length, it represents quantity. When we talk about width, it represents quality. And then when we talk about height, it represents another dimension. A dimension of a certain intensity of depth, which is a different concept entirely. This is more of like it's a metaphor. There's length and there's width. Going to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the Chatzar Mishkan, was 100 amos long by 50 amos wide. Why? Why didn't Hashem make the Mishkan a square? And in fact, when we learned Sefer Yecheskel, there, the dimensions of the Azara are square. It's a perfect square. And then the bias, whatever, not going to all the details, but there's a change. There's a change between the bias Sheni and the bias Shlishi in going from a rectangle to a square. What is this all about? I don't know. But there is such a principle that it's not just the physical dimensions. Length has more of a flavor of quantity. Keeps on going more and more and more and more. Width represents broadness, represents quality. And he's coming over here to see, in this example, the word kama is connected to the word rochba, but the word kama is not connected to the word orka. And that fits very much in line with this idea. When it comes to the rochba, the width, this is what it is. This is its essence, its definition of quality. But when it comes to the orka, v'chama, what's the number of its length? I don't have the right words. I'm fumbling to find the right words. But the word kama is a very powerful word. The word kama is a word which has a connotation of its essence. The essence is the rochba. And that's why the word kama in this pasuk is connected to the word rochba. See, you can't over here just ignore it. Because when you have a pasuk in Chumash and you have two words together, no, so you have a makaf, two words together, big deal. But here you have exactly the same two words. Kama rochba v'chama orka. You got to be consistent. If you can have a makif,
Rabbi Levine, Shomayim, Naiman here, Yaknaim. Excuse me, what pasuk are you up to?
Pasuk Hey, pasuk vav, Zechariah, Perik Beis, pasuk vav, Zechariah. Okay. So over here we have two words: kama rochba v'kama orka. The word kama, how much? It has a connotation of who are you? What are you? And you are your essence is your quality. When it comes to the kama orka, we do not connect the word kama to the word orka. Just because you have a lot, so what? You have a lot. It doesn't have an effect on you. It's something which is, it doesn't define what you are doesn't define your essence. Okay, I'm trying to be very abstract. Kama is a word which connotes essence. Orka and Rachba, Orka is quantity. Rachba is quality. If you want to know a person's essence, Kama, it's in the Rachba. It's in your width, your breath. When you want to know a person's quality, it's not how much he has. He can have $1 billion in the bank. It doesn't mean he's a millionaire. It doesn't mean anything. It means he's a custodian of all of this money. The essence of a person is found in the concept of Rochba. And this little makof says it all. This little horizontal line that connects the word kama to Rochba, but does not appear connecting the word kama to arka, says to us, you are what your quality, what your essence is. Not by the number of objects and things that surround you and the numbers in your bank account. That's not gonna a definition of kama. All right, this concludes the section.
I have a proof for that. בברכת המזון, we say, ארץ טובה ורחבה. ארץ ישראל is not רחבה, it's very narrow and long. אבל רחובה, because it's טובה,
טובה.
Then it's רחבה.
The word רחובה,
the quality of טובה makes it, wide.
It's a metaphor.
I don't care about the length.
Right. It's a metaphor. Rochba and Arka are metaphors for quality versus quantity. And then there's another dimension, which is height, which is a whole different topic, which I'm very abstract. How that plays in. And we see the little line, a little makof, and the Mincha Shai makes note of it, the difference between the two, the contrast. And it's true. Kama has a kind of, what are you? You are your rochba. Your possessions, how many things, how many toys you have in life, how many cars and yachts and homes, and how many zeros follow you have in your bank account. Yeah, that's very, very nice. That's a beautiful blessing, but that's not kama. That's not who you are. All right, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to learn about one topic, the topic of, well, really, we'll see what we can do. Two topics, Priya Urviya, connected to the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. Adam HaRishon and Chava did not have parents. So we have to discuss that in a few moments. I'll see you back in 2 minutes. In a minute, 6 seconds, whatever, 1 minute.
You're really leaving the reason why there's a Kama Rochba with a Makha. And it isn't with the kama arka.
Right.
We're leaving that it's not really.
It's not the kama. The
makaf.
The makaf. If you want to know kama, which in an abstract form, how much? I mean, what are you? You are rachba in your breath, in your quality, in your essence. But if you want to know a person, you want to define a person by the arka. By arcing his length, which is usually a metaphor for what he has, don't connect the word arka to the word kama. There's no makaf there, because that's not a true indication of who he is. That's not a way to define kama, how much. It's not a measure. It's not a valid way to measure a person by looking at how many possessions he has in this world. The way to define a person of kama is the makaf is only for the word rachba.
I've never looked at a makaf before. Other places also have meaning.
Makaf is all over. I mean, if you're lame, if you're about kriya, if you're lame, makaf is every line is a
makaf. I have to start looking properly.
Very
good. Very good. brought coffee.
What?
You brought coffee?
Yeah, I have black coffee.
Huh? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm good.
Please tell me so. I'll take time to work and warm. The water has to warm up. I have to warm up.
Good.
Yeah, here.
Okay.
My black coffee takes a little into the blue light. That's the blue one. The blue goes off.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, it's done. I got this on Amazon for $19. Mm-hmm. I used to have your food and coffee ever since Corona. It's finished. Sakana. No more. The world came to an end.
Seriously,
it's still out there. A lot of very sick people. There's nothing to talk about. I know a lot of people that I know personally. A lot of people that have it are sick, home, all different conditions. Horrible.
So, Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
You need a password to get into Kollel today?
Do you need a password? Or Yitzhak, you need a password?
Yes, I heard about that.
They don't need a password. It was a joke. Clothing was a joke. Password.
Well, they did have security, and I understand.
They had three cops.
Show up.
They had three ex-cops. They had three.
We're off-duty cops.
Three
anyway.
Off-duty cops?
So,
yeah.
So what I heard is cops did show up there.
Yeah.
And the security took care of it.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Well, you were on the. I guess I have outside information.
Benjamin probably told you. What time did the cops come?
I don't know.
All I know is, this is what I know. I can tell you what I know, is that every day on Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres, the sheriff came into the yeshiva at 2 p.m. At 2 p.m., he showed up on Hoshana Rabbah to the yeshiva at 2 p.m. and on Shmini Atzeres. The sheriff is very bad. Sheriff, they give the tickets.
Sheriff, they couldn't handle.
You can't handle the sheriff. That's it, you're done. You're toast. The sheriff comes, you finish. You get $15,000 fine. On Hoshana Rabbah, there was no one there at 2 o'clock. And on Shmini Atzeres, no one there at 2 o'clock. It was Simchas Torah, so far so good. It was 2 o'clock. The Rashiva, they were basically finishing up HaKafis. The Rashiva looks at the clock and he sees it's 2 o'clock. And he started to panic. He went into a panic. And they literally, I'm not joking with you, they shoved everyone out of the building.
Wow.
He was overcome with this panic that any second they're coming now and they're going to give them a $15,000 ticket. They pushed, they just pushed you out of the building. Unbelievable. I don't know, maybe they came. I don't know what happened. I heard a lot of places got.
Where I was talking about speakeasy mignon and, you know, everybody had signs.
Members, you know, only.
No trespassing.
No trespassing. Members only.
You probably saw those.
Yeah, but not in our years. They didn't have any signs. They didn't have any signs there.
I thought, you know, I need a patch on my jacket. You know, members only. You know, that brand. Anyway. So.
This was a very funny joke.
Made me feel elitist.
I'll tell you what they had on Shmini Atzeres with Shabbos. This everyone was laughing. They broke it in laughter. Where they gave out a password. Anyone who wants to come to yeshiva has a there's a password to tell the guard to get in. A big deal. So on Shabbos there was a bar mitzvah, Shmini Atzeres, Shabbos. The boy who was bar mitzvah, 13-year-old boy. So they gave him an ali. They called him up. So they have a person there. There's a chazen. So he made this long yahamot. This very very elaborate yahamot. A chazonish. Yeah.
Remember we asked about the three Ya'amods and the Torah. Same thing.
So this the Chazan, he made this beautiful, beautiful, elaborate Ya'amod in the honor of the Bar Mitzvah boy on Shmini Atzeres. And right after he finished, someone screams out, "That's the password to get in." You have to sing that to the guard to get in. That was funny. I thought that was very, very funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let's learn about the first mitzvah in the Torah. One second.
Craziness. just the English number four. Somehow we survived down to...
Question is not to survive. Everyone should be healthy today. Let's see who gets sick today. That's the question. Who's going to...